Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our message comes from Isaiah chapter 35. Open with prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would enter into our hearts and our minds now as we take this time to be fed by your word. We may be renewed with your peace and your joy and the hope of glory that is to come. In the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, how many of you like snow? Any people that like snow? All right, good for you. I know some people, when snow hits and snowstorms hit, they think, time to get away. Time to get away. It's a good time to maybe vacation somewhere during the winter months. You don't hear a lot of people picking Minnesota as their winter destination of getting away. Maybe you remember the Southwest Airlines commercials. They ask you if you want to get away. I remember one of them where the postman is at a house delivering a package and he sees a basketball court and it's like, I can do that. He picks up the basketball. He takes a shot and breaks the house window while the person's sitting right there. And just want to get away. Gives it Southwest Airlines. Low fares. There's times in our life when things are going so bad we just think we need to get away. And there's a groaning of going to a better place. There's a longing to be somewhere else, where there's not suffering, where there's not pain, where there's not sorrow. Perhaps not necessarily even a home, but the home the way exactly we want it to be. Maybe you can think of some places you would want to go to get away. Maybe Florida. One of my roommates in Florida right now, and don't really feel sorry for him. You can think of a white sandy beach somewhere on your easy chair. Maybe you can think of favorite country you've been to. But as good as all those places are, we can't find really anything like our text describes here in Isaiah chapter 35. It's literally this picture of a place of everlasting peace and joy, where sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And Isaiah has talked about this theme before. You know, we've been having our Advent sermon series on Isaiah. We've been talking about the place that we have in our home in Christ, in his presence. A new creation. We talked about the king that God sent to redeem us in Isaiah chapter 11. There was even a picture of his peace will be so amazing that even a wolf will lie down with a lamb. And an infant will play near the hole of the cobra. Isaiah chapter 2, you have the picture of the new Jerusalem where swords are beat into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks, because no one needs any war anymore because of the peace of God. And here we are reminded of a whole new creation in chapter 35. Creation is going to be restored to the way that God had intended it in the first place. We look around in the world and we see a broken world. We see bloodshed, we see bombings, and we know in our hearts that we groan. Perhaps not all the time, but sometimes longing When will it end? In chapter 8 of Romans, St. Paul talks about all creation is groaning, longing for its day of redemption. Not even just humans, but all of creation, all of nature itself. And here in Isaiah, it speaks of a time when not just people, but the creation itself will be singing for joy. It's a picture of a desert turning into wilderness, a desert in a wilderness turning into a garden, a place of kind of like an oasis. The burning sand becomes a pool, thirsty ground, springs of water. It's almost as strange sounding as if someone were to say, well, get out your cameras because next week we're going to have 90 degrees and sunny weather, and you know, got to look out for all the blossoming flowers and blooming wonderful things, wonderful new life. Doesn't really sound realistic. But yet, this is the picture God gives his people of the day when he will restore his creation. But you can't help but wonder how much time and effort and money, planning, really goes into simply the hope for this world. The hope to make this world better. And if the truth is, all that we can do is keep evil at bay, we'll never get rid of all the brokenness. We'll find social systems and economies that are better, be more successful. We'll find more medical advances with Mayo Clinic. But here, we can find this talking about the eyes of the blind being opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame leaping and the mute singing for joy. This idea of creation being renewed seems far-fetched. Seems like it's not going to happen. Unless the Creator comes in and does it himself. Even at the time of Isaiah, his creation at that time was growing. Yet early in his life and ministry, around 740 BC, things were pretty good. It's kind of one of the high points of Israel. People had their life of pleasure and leisure. They probably had the goal, like so many people have today, is to die with the most stuff or have the most experiences. Kind of as their earthly satisfactions grew, their spiritual health shrunk. Then the Assyrians came, kind of like a terrorist nation from the east, really, very wicked nation. They came and they ended up destroying the northern kingdom of Israel. And everybody thought all of a sudden things had gotten bad. But yet in God's eyes, things had just remained bad. Because they were far from him. In the time of Jesus, creation was growing, the Romans in control, poor seeing poor, the rich getting richer. Blind and the deaf continued to be blind and deaf. And this judgment that John the Baptist was talking about, this recompense of God, this vengeance, seemed like it wasn't going to come. So John sends his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for someone else? What are you going to do about all the groaning? What are you going to do about all my groaning? You say you come to set the prisoners free. Here I am in prison. Unjustly. What about the justice? And the vengeance and repaying people for what they've done? And Jesus mentions, look what you hear and see. The blind have their eyes opened. The deaf hear, the mute talk. The dead are raised. Maybe that's not what he wanted to hear. Maybe you wanted to hear, oh yeah, but what have you done for me lately? And it's frustrating too when Jesus doesn't meet our needs or our expectations seemingly. When health comes, when financial struggles come. When things you think you need just don't come. And we ask too, are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for someone else? Are you really the one who is to come? And yet the words of Jesus give us just what we need to hear. The words of Jesus tell us that He's exactly who Isaiah was talking about when he prophesied in verse 5 that the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped and the lame leap and the tongue of the mute sing. It's talking about the coming glory of the Lord. The beginning of this creation being restored. The Creator Himself coming in to redeem it for Himself. It's not just paradise getting better, such as environments getting healthier, global warming stopping. It's literally God Himself coming to make it new. Make it the way it should be. So to do this, God had to come and first judge the old world. That's what the cross is about. Literally, God on the cross takes all of the brokenness and all of the sin and all the repayment for evil He puts on Himself so that we can be participants in this coming glory. Have everlasting joy on our heads, and to know that one day there will be a day when sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So He kills the old world by dying on the cross, and He ushers in the new creation by rising from the dead, proclaiming His victory over death and hell and sin forever. Where are you at right now? Do you want to get away? Are you longing for a place to go on Christmas time? Or to be back at home? Or maybe far from home? People in Israel longed to get away too. Fortunately, they ended up going to exile in Babylon, living as captives. Yet Isaiah's message for them was the same He brings to us. His message of future and hope. Not in the way they want it to be, but in the coming of the Son of God. Creator coming as the Redeemer. And so the remnant of these poor, miserable exiles that would go into Babylon and have to leave their homeland, they would become They would come to be known as the redeemed and the ransomed of the Lord. Those whose lives have been purchased and won by the innocent suffering and death of our Savior Christ the Lord. So they would get away. Not just in a new exodus, like when they were in slavery in Egypt. But literally it says, on a holy superhighway, with shouts of joy, perpetual eternal joy, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing. In that day, a conquering king would commonly take those prisoners with him when he had his victory parade back in his hometown. He would parade to visit the prisoners with him from the nation he conquered. But here the imagery is kind of reversed. Instead of the captives being paraded as the captives, here they're paraded as the freed, as the ransomed, as not those with shame, but those with joy. And here we find ourselves too in this time of exile, this time where we aren't in our home, where we're strangers to this world. There's groaning with us, there's groaning around us. But God gives us a place to get away. He gives us a place whenever we're gathered around His Word and His Holy Supper and His Gospel. He gives us that place to get away, to remember who we are, to remember where we're going, to remember what really our hope is in. It's not simply in a day when there will be no more snow or warmer weather or no health concerns or no money problems or better economy. It's a day when Jesus will restore His creation. So to our knocking knees, our weak hands, our anxious hearts, which literally means hurried hearts, maybe our groaning bodies, maybe our wandering minds, maybe our doubting minds, Jesus speaks to us. Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come, and He will save you. For us, we know that King has come. We know we have an eternal home. But we know the best place to get away is a place we are journeying by repentance and faith to go to. This holy highway to the place of God's glory, where sorrow and sighing will flee away, death itself will be no more. We know one day the groaning and the gloom we experience in this world will break forth to the glory and goodness of the new creation, paradise restored. Amen.